It's amazing how you reach points in your life, and as the Lord constantly reminds you of things. I don't know, I've been walking for about 27 years with the Lord, and sometimes He'll come and He'll remind you of something, whether it be a prophetic word, whether it be words He's spoken of your life, things that He did through you and in you, and He'll come and remind you. Paul and Peter constantly writes actually about it. He says, by constant reminder. In Romans 15:15, Paul uses these words. He says, by constant reminder. And usually it's reminding us about very basic things. I have to remind my daughters to, you know, somebody said you have to wash the triangle, you know. You've got to remind your kids to wash the triangle, you know, in their bodies. Because if they don't, then the part of the triangle will smell like hamburgers, you know, the underarms. But there's a reminder that we have to do all the time. And I think one of these reminders, and this morning I want to remind us about salvation. I want us to think back this morning of that moment, no matter how old you are in the Lord, when He saved you. I want to remind you, and I want to unblock me, maybe even this morning, a well of salvation. Because this morning I want to actually talk about that. Out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 12, we're going to look at wells of salvation. And I want to unblock these wells this morning by reminding you of three things this morning. Just three things out of these scriptures. So let's read together in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. In that day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger is turned away and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. With joy, He will draw water from the wells of salvation. What a beautiful portion of scripture. I mean, this was written 700 years before Jesus came on the scene. But yet, there is this longing for salvation, that God is going to send His Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. And we celebrate His birth. We celebrate His death, His burial, His resurrection. And we also celebrate His ascension. Because He needed to do all those things for you and for me. So this morning, I want to look at what John most probably wrote in Revelation chapter 2 verse 4. He says that sometimes we have abandoned the love that we first had. So I want to bring us back to the love. I want to bring us back to Jesus. That it's pure and it's about Him. It's all about Him. I have to remind my kids that Christmas is not about the gifts. It's about the giver. And Daddy is not the giver. The ultimate gift is the Father sending His Son. Constant reminder. And then he says, John continues in that verse in Revelation 2 verse 4. He says, remember therefore, I remind you once again, remember from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. So this morning, I want to speak to you as a Christian. But I also want to speak to you if you're a non-Christian, because this morning, the Lord is here. Those verses are for you, that He is your salvation. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Don't say that I will do it tomorrow. Don't put it off till tomorrow, because you don't know what tomorrow holds. David prays in Psalm 51 verse 12, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Restore to me. God, I need you to tell me again. Just show me how much you loved me. This morning, God, I want us to be reminded again of how much you love us. And that joy becomes my strength in my life. Some of you are feeling weak right now. Do you need strength? Well, you need the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is your salvation. Let's come back to the basics of this. Right here at the end of the year. So this morning, I would like us to look at this text and explore these three keys. How to return to our first love. And to drink again from the wellspring of life. And the first key is found in the first verse. Let's look at that again. Isaiah chapter 12. In that day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. One of the big things is, when I grew up as a little child, I always thought that God's angry with me. I mean, he is this Gandalf-type looking God with a big white beard sitting in heaven with a long stick. And whenever I step out of line, he's just going to whack me. And that was the impression I had about God until I had an encounter with this living God where he showed me his love and his compassion and his grace. And you can only see his grace through faith. And that's also a gift. That's okay. And this morning, I would like us to, maybe we need to become thankful again. And the first key is thanks. The first key that I want to give you this morning is that we need to become thankful people again. People, God's not angry with us. God poured out his anger on Jesus. He took all the sin that was the requirements, according to the book of Colossians, these righteous requirements against me and you. Can I get three guys, four guys? John, Vernon, can I give you a kebab? I'm going to use you guys quickly. Just line up here. Stand in jail. Get in jail. You guys are in jail. You can't share jails. Okay. So Vernon is in jail. Vernon is in jail because Vernon is a liar and he's a thief. Vernon is in jail because you put the sin on Vernon. That doesn't matter. So Vernon has been put in this jail, and there's this righteous requirement, the book of Colossians tells us, nailed against this door. John, on the other hand, and you put the sins on him as well. And then, so each one of them have righteous requirements against them of the things that they have done. The amazing thing about the word, it says this, that Jesus, the advocate, the one that stands in our stead, the one that's in the go-between, between the judge, God wants to judge them. And Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. They deserve death for all the things that they are guilty. Guilty as charged, Your Honor. They are guilty. Okay. So, Jesus comes, Colossians says. He took these righteous requirements that were nailed to their doors. He says, I'll pay for this, I'll pay for this. And he went to the cross and he nailed that to the cross. And he said, I've paid for them in full. You are free to go, Vernon. You can go. You're free to go, John. You are free to go. See, he's thankful because he realized what a sinner he is. That is what the word tells us, that Jesus has done on the cross for you and for me. The things that we needed to pay for. And they couldn't do good deeds. They couldn't go like, but king, but righteous judge, can we do something for you? Can we do a little song and a dance for you? Maybe bake you a cake, do something for you. He says, no, you deserve death. So my good works couldn't get me out of jail. Only Jesus could get me out of the jail because he paid with his life. He paid the requirement, which was death, and the blood that was shed, The book of Leviticus says that nothing is redeemed without the shedding of blood. And that is exactly what Jesus has done for you and for me. It's exactly what he's done. That is the story of salvation. That is the story of redemption. Now, sorry. Dirk, jy kan God wees. Kom, staan hier by ons. So jy kan God wees. Jy kan daar op jou righteous troon staan. So I present my friend here. I say, look, he doesn't have to bring his case before the Father. William does not have to bring his case. Hy klaar nie, hy het nie nodig om te sê, sorry, Joe Honor, ek het dit nie gedoen nie. He doesn't have to say it. Because the advocate says, don't worry, look at this. Look at what I'm going to do. Father, I have died for him. What are you doing? Okay, nie iets lelik doen nie. I have died for him. My blood has covered him. So all that the Father is seeing is the blood of Jesus. That's all he's seeing. He's not seeing the sins. He remembers your sins no more. But now, let's mourn. Kom speel gou Satan, asseblief. There's a lot of role players in this thing. So Jesus is the advocate saying he's not guilty. But there is one that says, no, you're guilty. You're guilty. You're guilty. He's called the accuser of the brethren, of the brothers. He'll come and accuse. And he'll say, no, but you're guilty. But Jesus says, he's not guilty, Father. I'll defend him with my life because I died for him. I paid for him. And that's all the Father is saying. And then the Father says, be gone, Satan. Do you guys get it? This is the story of redemption. This is the story of, and this is what I'm thankful for. This is massive theological concept in the Bible. And sometimes in the English Bible, you will read it. I didn't even know what it is in Afrikaans. I didn't even want to think what it is. Because in English, it's a big word. It's called propitiation. It's a massive word. But all it means is this. God is not angry with you. God has appeased himself in his son Jesus. He's done it all. He's poured out the anger that he had against sin. He poured it out on his son Jesus. Jesus paid it in full. Not half price. And then there's no halfies. You know what, William, meet me halfway. I'll meet you halfway. No, no, no. He says, I'll meet you full. 100% I've paid for you. That is what I'm thankful for. I don't know about you, but God's anger is not against me. That he loves me. That he cares for me. We need to thank God that he's no longer angry or even displeased with us. I mean, there's no displeasure in William right now because the Father is looking at him through the Son and he's pleased with what his Son has done. Do you get this? He never looks at us. This was an old covenant way of doing it. God puts Abraham to sleep. Abraham can't even do something. He kind of sees a smoking flax and he sees these two partners that's making covenant. He's just like, okay, I'm in it. You know, I'm part of the deal. And then they say in the New Testament, and Abraham called those things that are not as though they were. Why? Because he didn't even know. It was by faith that Abraham came in. Beautiful, this picture. That his wrath that he was supposed to pour out on us because of sin is now satisfied. Let's look at Romans 6:23. I just quoted it, but I want to look at it for you. For the wages of sin is death. Wages of sin is still death. It doesn't change. This is one wage that will never change. Let me tell you that. Okay. But and I love the buts in the Bible. But God. But the gift of God is eternal. If I have a gift for you, what would you do? If I offer you a gift right now. Callie Marie. It's like for you a gift here. Ga je het vat? Wat ga je doen met die gift? Ga je het oopmaak? Oopskeer hopelijk. Want dis hoe kinders het moet doen. Skeer het oop. Weet je wat is die probleem met ons? Callie Marie.
ons, hoe ouder ons raak, ne, raak ons mos meer gesofistikeerd. Dan vat ons hierdie gift, dan sit ons om gewoonlik op die raak. Dan kyk ons na die gift en sê, joh, dit is een mooi gift. Hierdie gift wrap is die mooiste gift wrap wat ek in my leven gesien het. Daai bou wat op is, ne, is awesome. Ons moet soos kinders weer raak en ons gifts oopskeer wat die Here vir ons gee. We need to become like little children again. And tear it open. And there's plenty gifts. Heaven is full of gifts for you and for me. The gift, the best gift, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the biggest gift. But then he says, there's tongues. There's interpretation of tongues. There's healing. There's this. There's that. There's all these things. But we receive a hammer, and to a man that receives a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Okay. And we have a hammer. We go around. God's given me a hammer. That's all you have. No. God's got so much more for you. There's a toolkit in heaven with lots of power tools in there. The Spirit wants to work in and through you. Man, so much more. I don't even want to talk about that. That's what I'm thankful for. Isaiah 53. Verse 4 to 5 and verse 10. Look at this. Surely Jesus took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment, there's that thing, that wrath was upon him, that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. Verse 10 says this. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him, cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. God crushed his own son so that you and I can live. But he raised him from the dead after 3 days triumphantly. He's seated at the right hand of the Father right now, praying for you and for me. God has shown us mercy and grace through his son Jesus. I want to make this statement. I put it on my Facebook this week. God has got all the right to be angry with us. But we never have any reason to be angry with him. God's got all the right to be angry with me. All the stuff that I do. I would stand here till tomorrow if I tell you all the sins that I'm doing. God's got all the right to be angry with me. And I can never be angry with him. Why? Because he's a gracious God. And he's shown me mercy in the time of need. He's shown me grace when I deserved hell. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, since we have been justified by faith. And that's that legal term. And the father, Dirk, that was standing here, looking, and he declares William, just as if he never sinned. That's the word justified. Just as if he never sinned. I look at him, and he is clean. Why? Because the blood of Jesus is upon him. He's clean. It's paid for. In full. You see, we've been justified by faith. What do we have faith in? We have faith in the completed work of Jesus on the cross. We have peace with him through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8 continues and it says this. God shows his love for us. While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. Some of us, we think we need to cosmetically change ourselves before we come to Jesus. You know, I call it spiritual Botox. We try and dress better, look better, be better, and then maybe Jesus will accept me quicker. Jesus accepts you, warts and all. In actual fact, my friend, Jesus made you. Psalm 139 says that he has made you in your mother's womb. He knows your thoughts from afar off. Doesn't matter. You can't hide from him. He knows everything about you. So come as you are. Come to Jesus just the way you are. beautiful thing about grace is he's not going to leave you in that state. He's going to change you. Because grace is not just saving us. It enables us to walk this road. Be thankful.
We have so much to be thankful for. Some of us here today might feel, but God deserted me. I've been in a dry place for so long. I cannot hear God's voice anymore. I'm in the wilderness. I don't think God loves me anymore. John just told us, God is a God in the storms. He's there. I just want to say this as a caution. Sometimes God brings us, his people, into the wilderness that he may speak tenderly to us. Hosea chapter 2 verse 14 says this. Therefore, I'm now going to allure her. I'm going to bring her in. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her. Wow. Have you ever thought of that? That God might have lured you into the desert so that he can speak tenderly to you. Maybe you're in that position where you are right now because he is a jealous God. And he wants to speak tenderly to you this morning. Always remember his promises. In Psalm 23 verse 6, last verse, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy. I have these two companions, goodness and mercy, that's walking behind me the rest of my life as a child of God. They're following me. Because Romans 4:21 says, we are fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. I'm fully convinced. And Hebrews 10:23 continues, it says, for he who has promised is faithful. So if this is a promise of God, he is faithful to bring it to completion. The second thing I want to look at is in verse 2. So the first one is thanks. The second one I want to look at is trust. It's a key in our Christian walk. Not just to be thankful, but also to trust the Lord. It's a difficult one. I think the hardest thing for me as a Christian is to let go and trust God with everything in my life. It's difficult. It's difficult for me sometimes to lay bare my soul before God and say, God, I am incapable of doing this. I'm an Afrikaans man. And you should be able to do everything. Except nail in nails and screws and things like that, which I can't do. That I admit openly. And I'm not even shy to say that. My wife does that. I told her she can do that. Was it the verstand houding? Say die verstand, ek het die houding. We are taught sometimes that you have to be able to do everything. And I want to tell you right now, I want to free you up this morning. God is not expecting you to be able to do everything. And I want you to trust him again. Sometimes it is difficult, you know, to just fall back in the arms of God and just allow him to catch you. Sometimes, you know, years ago, and I've shared this a few times in this context. Years ago, when I was in Bible school, Siggy Oblander once prophesied over me, short lady. If you don't know who Siggy Oblander is, go Google her. I think she walked from west to East Germany or something like that, and something like that. I don't know the story. But she was standing. She looked like Catherine Kuhlman. She stuck a finger under my nose and she said to me, the Lord says, break the gravity. It is like a bungee jumping. Break the gravity. And I was like, God, what do you mean about break the gravity? And I think so often we are so sucked down by the things of this world that we can't by faith jump out and trust in the Lord with all our hearts.
to not lean on your own understanding, because your understanding will keep you on that cliff. Your understanding will tell you, don't jump. You see, faith is when the whole world shouts, don't do it. That's exactly when you do it. When the world says, don't do it. That's when the children of God steps out by faith. Because it doesn't make sense to you and me. But we need to trust the Lord. That's what we need to start doing again, my friends. That's a key in our Christian walk, to trust Him. Why do I need to trust Him? Because God is my salvation. God didn't just save us, but we are safe with Him. Psalm 17, verse 8 says, hide me in the shadow of your wings. Like a little, like a chicken, like a hen gathering her little chicks under her wings. Psalm 56, verse 3 to 4. Let's read that quickly. When I am afraid, there's that word, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? Whatever you're facing, whatever boss you're facing, whatever situation you're facing, trust in the Lord. I will trust that grace brought me thus far and grace will carry me home. Jesus, in Hebrews 12 verse 2, says that He is the founder or the author and the perfecter of my faith. He's the one that started it and He's the one that will complete it for me. John 10, verse 28 to 30. Let's read this quickly. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. What a promise. What a promise from God. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Beautiful promise from the Lord. And He is faithful. Even though the Bible says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. God is preparing us and He's preserving us. Not just preparing us, He's preserving us. If God is your salvation, then you can enjoy security and peace of mind. And this morning we quoted this verse. So good that the Lord is just confirming these things in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, there's that word again, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. We need to still our fears and our anxieties today. He can and will never fail us. Faith overcomes fear. See, fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is an acronym. False evidence appearing real. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to present a false accusation against you. If I watch these weird little YouTube videos sometimes about car crashes, and you have a dash cam. And sometimes there's these things coming at the cars. And, you know, most of the time these guys are swerving out because they don't know what it is. So if I presented this to you and you did not know if there was any dimension to this, and this thing came straight at you, you would swerve out. Because you don't know how thick it is. You don't know if it's a box, how broad it is. You know nothing about the density of it. You don't know what it is. It's just something coming straight at you. And that's exactly what Satan does. He presents this to you. But what he doesn't show you is how paper thin it is. He never shows you that his schemes are paper thin, really. He brings that accusation, but he doesn't show you how thin it is. And you swerve out and you crash and you go all wild because this thing is against me. It's coming at me and I don't know how thick it is. But he never shows you how thin it really is. And you swerve out for something and you crash and you burn. Why? Because of a false accusation brought against you. I want to remind you, be careful of what you believe. Be careful of what you see. Be careful of these things. Faith overcomes fear. And the third thing and last thing, and we're concluding with this, is joy. We see it in the last verse in Isaiah 12 verse 3. Can we quickly get the Isaiah scripture up again? Sorry. Thanks, Louise. Verse 3. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We know that. The source of the wells of salvation is God Himself, the fountain of all good. He's that source. I draw joy from God. Psalm 87 verse 7 says, all my springs are in you. God is the source of everything. Let us read this amazing promise in the last book of the Bible in Revelation chapter 21. Let's reread this quickly. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then He said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. And he who overcomes will inherit all this. And I will be his God and he will be my son. Man, this promise of the Lord is beautiful. He's the source of everything. And I want to invite you this morning, even during the worship, the Lord has invited us to come and drink from the well of salvation, the waters of life. Two verses in John 4, verse 13 to 14. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Beautiful thing is, we don't just drink from the well. We can also become a wellspring for others that other people can drink from. And then in John 7, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him. We need to start rejoicing again in our salvation. And we need to start singing with the psalmist in Psalm 18 verse 46. He says, the Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. I'm ending with one more verse in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 26 verse 11 says, and you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and your house. I'm going to read it again. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and your house. So today, let us see and let us remember from where maybe we have fallen, and that we come with a repentant heart before the Lord and return to our first love, the joy of our salvation, to the source, to the well of our salvation this morning.